بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Returning back to our sitting with the Adab al-Mufrad, the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه تعالى. We mentioned in yesterday's session that the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad is a book that he authored, which was separate from his authorship within his Sahih, the book of Adab within his Sahih, Sahih al-Bukhari. And because of the fact that it was a separate authorship, he entitled it Al-Adab al-Mufrad, or the individual in the separate book of Adab that Imam al-Bukhari authored. That was not upon the condition of his Sahih. So not every hadith within it is authentic. And as we mentioned, Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, he authenticated the book and authored his Sahih Adab al-Mufrad and Da'if Adab al-Mufrad, separating the authentic ahadith within it from that which is Da'if. And in fact, the Da'if section is quite small and constitutes a small portion of the ahadith of the book. We began with the first chapter, and that is the chapter wherein the Imam, he mentioned Babu Qawlihi Ta'ala وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. The Bab, or the chapter concerning the statement of Allah Ta'ala that we have enjoined upon mankind that he should be dutiful to his parents. And we mentioned in yesterday's session the hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he collected the first of the ahadith within the Bab, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, wherein the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, أي العمل أحب إلى الله, which of the actions are most beloved to Allah? He said, صلاة على وقتها, prayer upon its time. He said, and then what? And so he said, then بر الوالدين, then being dutiful to your parents. He said, and then what? He said, then الجهاد في سبيل الله. He said, حدثني بهن ولو استزدته لزادني. He said, he narrated them to me, and if I had sought an increase from him, he would have increased and given me additional actions that are more beloved to Allah. يعني. And so, this hadith, no doubt, it has in it that which Imam al-Bukhari authored or mentioned and entitled the chapter heading with, and that is the affair of Allah advising us and enjoining upon mankind to be dutiful to his parents. So here we have the fact that after carrying out the right that is due to Allah of the establishment of Salah, then the next best action, the most beloved action to Allah Azza wa Jal, is that one is dutiful to their parents, since they were the cause of their existence, that Allah Azza wa Jal made them the means by way of which that individual exists and he was brought into this dunya. And so as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that indeed la yashkurillah, the one who has not thanked the people, then he does not thank Allah. And so the greatest of those who one should give thanks to from the people are your parents, the cause of your existence, as Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed. Then Imam al-Bukhari, under the same chapter heading, he mentions حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا شعبة قال حدثنا يعلى ابن عطاء عن أبيه عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه قال رضا الرب في رضا الوالد وسخط الرب في سخط الوالد. He said, after mentioning his chain of narration, going back to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned here the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, which in actuality finds its presence in a hadith that is sahih, even though here it is mawquf, and that is that it is attributed to the companion from his statement. For indeed, in the chain of narration, it ends with Abdullah ibn Umar saying, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَتُ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَتِ الْوَالِدِ, that he ends then, therefore, the chain of narration at Abdullah ibn Umar. And so this version of the narration is actually known as mawquf, that is, it is mawquf upon the Sahabi. It is, or it stops at the companion, Ridwanullahi alayhim, and is attributed to him as his statement. But the hadith is sahih marfu'an. It is authentic as a hadith narrated and attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as the mawquf version, as far as the version of the hadith that is mawquf and attributed to the companion, then it is hasan in terms of its chain of narration. It is and has a chain of narration that is hasan. While the sahih version of the hadith that is is sahih. The version of the hadith that is attributed to the Messenger from his statement, then it is sahih. It is authentic. As far as the hadith is concerned, in terms of its meaning, then know that this is a hadith, أيها الإخوة, that is عظيم جدا, extremely tremendous, as it relates to the fadl and indicating the fadl and the virtue and the station of being dutiful to one's parents. And here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in this version, as we mentioned, it is the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, but he in essence was narrating that which he heard from the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, and that which is established as the statement of the Messenger. And this is something that would occur quite often, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in, that oftentimes you will find that a Sahabi from them may be asked a question, or an issue may be posed to him, or that he makes a statement. And he does not attribute his statement or his response to that question to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But upon research, we find that the exact same wording and the exact statement of that Sahabi, actually we find it as a hadith being attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was undoubtedly because of their fear for attributing to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which he didn't say. And they were afraid of changing and altering unintentionally even a letter from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they were extremely cautious with what they narrated and attributed to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. Based upon the statement of the Messenger, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And whosoever lies upon me intentionally, then let him take his seat in the hellfire. And so they were extremely cautious, oftentimes, in relation to that which they heard from the Messenger. And if they felt for a moment that they may have erred in terms of how they memorized it from the Messenger of Allah, or that there may be a letter out of place, then they would prefer to attribute that statement, or just to make mention of the statement, since they are certain of its meaning, but were afraid to attribute it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So oftentimes they make mention of the statement because of the fact that they know that it is the haqq, and we do not have that statement being attributed to the Messenger. And that will highlight the great station of the fatawa, of the verdicts, and of the advice of the Sahaba. That their fatawa, their verdicts, and their advice oftentimes revolves around a hadith or a statement that they heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, upon advising, they would convey that which they heard, though they would not attribute that to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on some of those occasions. In any case, this hadith and this narration is one that is azim. Ridha al-Rabb fi ridha al-Walid. There is not one of us as Muslims except that we seek after the ridha and the good pleasure of our Lord. The Muslim should have nothing that concerns him more than to achieve and to obtain the good pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that should be the goal of every single Muslim. Because if one obtains his good pleasure, then Allah Azza wa Jal rewards those who He is pleased with. And He gives them similarly a hayat and tayyibah. He gives them a good life. And so achieving the good pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is of course one of the main goals of the believer. And as some of the Salaf used to say, لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبُّ وَلَكِنَّ شَأْنُ كُلَّ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبُّ. That indeed it is not the affair, the true affair is not that you love, and it is not that you yourself, that you love Allah. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in each and every way. And no doubt the soul inclines towards loving beauty. He said, and they used to say, but verily the affair, the true affair, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves you. And so when the station of obtaining the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla is so dear to the believer, this hadith and what it contains then should no doubt increase him in seeking the good pleasure of his parents. Here Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, radiallahu anhuma, he said, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ. That indeed the good pleasure of one's Lord is in the good pleasure of one's father. وَسَخَتُ الرَّبِّ فِي سَخَتِ الْوَالِدِ. And the anger of our Lord, the anger of our Lord is in the anger of one's father. That is, in pleasing one's father, one obtains the good pleasure of Allah. And in one father being angry with us, one obtains by way of that the displeasure and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Zayd then, he mentions concerning the hadith, وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ بَيَانٌ أَوْ بَيَانٌ تَرَتَّبَ أَوْ بَيَانٌ تَرَتَّبِ سَخَةِ الرَّبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَى سَخَةِ الْأَبِّ عَلَى إِبْنِهِ الْعَاقِ ذكرا كان أو أنثى. He said in this hadith we have a clarification of that which is built upon, or that which causes and brings about the displeasure of Allah, and that is, it is based upon the displeasure of one's father. And that comes from a disobedient child, male or female. وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِمَا لَهُ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And that is for no reason other than that which is due to him from right. فالوالد هو الذي تسبب في إيجاد الولد في طلب الزواج بأمي. For indeed the walid, one's father, he is the one that is the cause of his existence, and the cause of the child's existence, in that he sought to marry his mother. وهو الذي كفله ورعاه وهو في المهد. And he is the one that looked after him and was his guardian while he was young and in the cradle. ثم الطفولة ثم في سن الشباب وما بعده. And then when he reached, and when he became a toddler and a young child, and then when he reached the age of Shabab, when he became a youth, and that which followed that, he said, Al-Walid yar'a waladahu wa in kana kabira fa innahu la yaqsir fi ri'ayatihi abada aw la yuqassir fi ri'ayatihi abada. He said that indeed the father, he takes care of his son, even if he is older. And he's not negligent concerning that which is related to taking care of him and looking after him. لِذَا تَرَتَّبَ عَلَى بَرِّهِ إِذَا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَنِ الْبَارِ. And therefore, what is built and what is obtained by the one who is righteous and dutiful to him is that he obtains the good pleasure of Allah, the one who is dutiful to his parent. وَتَرَتَّبَ عَلَى الْعُقُوقِ السَّخَتْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And that which is built upon being disobedient to one's parents, and particularly to one's father, is the anger of Allah, his displeasure. لِأَنَّ الْجَزَاءُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. And then he mentions a qa'ida and a principle that the scholars mention, and that is that al-jaza', the reward that one receives, is based upon the type of action that one carries out. والمعروف عند الناس أن الوالد العاق أن الوالد العاقل يرضى من ولده ولو باليسير من البر من البر من البر نعم. He mentions that indeed what is well known is that, or what is well known with the people, is that the father that is عاقل, father that is astute and has sense and is, has intellect, then he is pleased with a small amount of good action and duty from his child. فَلَا يُعَنِّتُهُ وَلَا يُوقِئُهُ فِي أَسْبَابِ الْعُقُوقِ. He doesn't make things difficult for him, neither does he place him and put upon him that which will cause him to be disobedient. And here the Shaykh, he describes the عَاقِل, yani the walid or the father that is sensible, and that he is pleased with a small amount of that child being dutiful to him, him being good to him, and he doesn't make things difficult and hard for him. يَدْعُوهُ دَائِمًا إِلَىٰ مَرَادِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَيُجِيبُ فِي سَخَطِ الْبَارِي تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى جَلَّ فِي إِسْلَامِ. He constantly pulls him towards that which has in it the good pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he distances him and takes him away from that which has in it the displeasure of Al-Bari, the displeasure of the originator of the heavens and the earth, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And so we benefit then from this hadith, that which is specific to the walid, that is specific to the father, and that the rights of being dutiful to one's parents, in it, if one is dutiful to one's father, then indeed in that is the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in tomorrow's session, inshallah, we discuss that which is related to the to one's mother, and the great station that is afforded to her. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم.
الله يبارك
وأنتم كذلك. حياكم الله. Is it possible we can ask a question off the topic, أستاذنا؟
تفضل شيخ.
طيب, as we know, during the Christmas season here in Trinidad and in many of the Western countries, the shopping season usually is extended, and usually you will have stores opening up later hours, as well as opening up on Sunday, which they are in which they are usually closed. Is it the case that a Muslim who usually sells from Monday through Saturday in a particular location, that it would be permissible for him to open up on a Sunday because of the fact of that extra business or the extra shopping experience that has taken place? Would it be permissible for him to open up his business on that particular day or in that particular spot where there would be more shoppers because of this particular season? هذا سؤال. أحسن الله عليكم بارك فيكم.
الله يجزاك خير. As far as the participating in the celebrations of the kuffar, then no doubt there is a great principle in the Sharia that relates to the haram nature of participating in the celebrations of the kuffar.
And from the best of those who have spoken about the topic is Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his book, Kitab Iqtida Sirat al-Mustaqim, Mukhalafat Ashab al-Jahim. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned a number of qawaid and principles related to opposing the kuffar in relation to that which is specific to them. And from the things that he mentioned is the well-known position of the Salaf of this Ummah concerning participating in the Nairuz and the various celebrations of the Kuffar, whether those celebrations that were present at the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and that which followed, or that which preceded the coming of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or those celebrations that come after. And regardless of the religion, whether it is Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Sikhism, regardless of the religion, if there is a festivity and there is a celebration that is specific to the kuffar, then it is not permissible for the Muslim to participate in that. And that is on the basis of the statement of the Messenger of Allah, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِغَيْرِنَا, that he is not from us the one that resembles other than us. There is a difference, though, as it relates to the one who, a trader, he has trade, and he has regular business, and he establishes and sets up his business in a well-known souq, for example, a well-known marketplace. And he has not set up or come out or gone out of his way to establish his stall or to establish his business in such a way that he is considered partaking in the celebration. He is constantly in that place. And so the one who, mathalan, has a stall in the souq, a stall in the marketplace, then it does not now necessitate that during the festive season that he now must move his stall, and it is not permissible for him to sell any longer, because he, with his presence at that stall, is not participating in the festivities, rather that is his business. If that individual, though, he brings his stall at that time because of the festivities, and he partakes in that festivity, his stall, for example, is decorated in a manner that is relative to the festivity itself. He himself, for example, he wears a costume or an outfit that is relative to the festivity, or he uses various forms of decoration relative to the festivity, then it is said that he is participating in that festivity, whether he's selling or not, whether he is participating in trade or not. And so the one who constantly has a stall in that place, then it is not to be said concerning him that he has participated in that festivity with the presence of his stall. Yeah, and the origin is that he is benefiting, of course, from the extra crowd, but he's not partaking in the celebration. Therefore, that difference must be made. A difference must be made between the one who partakes in the celebration, he puts on the dress, he decorates his stall, he gives them the festive greetings and what have you, and between the one who is constantly in that place, that is his place of business. He doesn't partake in the festivities, so he doesn't bring out the Christmas decorations or the Diwali decorations or what have you. He doesn't partake. That is his place of trade and business, and he continues his business as usual. And you won't find from Ahlul Ilm anyone who will pass the verdict upon such a scenario and such a situation that he's partaking in that festivity. That is his business, that is his trade, that is different than from that which Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions in Kitab al-Iqtida about the prohibition against partaking in the Nairuz and the celebrations of the Kuffar. Wallahu a'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم أستاذنا.
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ. جزاكم الله خير إن شاء الله.
الله حياكم وياكم بارك فيكم. حفظكم الله حياكم الله.
حياكم الله وأنتم كذلك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.